Blog Talk Radio.
No.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk Radio, the segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, the most delicious Gail Johnson. How is everybody doing this evening? Good evening, Jade. How are you, darling?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing, Miss Delicious?
I am doing fantastic, girl. If I was doing any better, I'd be kind of scared, you know?
All right. Well, we don't want you to be scared now.
But I am just doing wonderful. Thank you, darling. How's everything been going with you this week?
Everything is going good. Everything is going good. And I'm just feeling excellent today, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Oh, well, we're in for a real treat. Yes, we are. And by the way, that was Ron Isley and Angela Beaufield, Hello, Beloved. That song
I love that
so
song. That was so
beautiful. Cool. Yes, it
yes,
is.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it is definitely a beautiful song. And tonight we have a very special guest, Leonardo Bustos. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. If not, I will find out how it's pronounced when we do get him on the show. First became well-known as a relationship and dating expert in 1981 when he wrote and published his first book, How to Attract Men and Keep Them Interested, followed by How to Attract Women and Keep Them Interested, under the writer's name, Stephen Zatman. They can still be found on Amazon.com and other online bookstores. At the time, he was featured in many publications like Playboy, Cosmopolitan, the LA Times, and many other journals, too numerous to mention. He also generated plenty of media attention on many radio and television stations, the most prominent being a weekly spot on a national syndicated radio program called Something You Should Know. He spoke to dozens of organizations and thousands of singles seeking romance and relationships. He had a brief stint teaching a course, How to Attract the Opposite Sex, at Glendale Junior College in the early 1980s. Since then, he has published How to Attract Women with Humor and The Ultimate Dating System. For the past several years, he has worked on combining his decades of experience in preparing and marketing million-dollar properties on the Internet with his expertise in dating and relationships to create revolutionary, one-of-a-kind program called Cyber System Dating. The Ultimate Dating System is the only combined audio, video, and software program in the world that uses data, the Internet, and coaching to keep those seeking love to select and connect with a perfect partner. It helps to prepare and market you like famous celebrities to as many other singles as possible using the latest innovations and techniques and technology, data, and relationship building. That sounds quite interesting, don't you think, Jay?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does.
I'm very interested in this.
It's a long
cyber
resume.
Right, and I'm very interested in this cyber system dating and also his book, How to Attract Women with Humor. That should be really something. So without further ado, I see my other co-host is here. Let's bring her on really quick. Good evening, Rhea. How are you doing, darling?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I am fantastic.
Good evening, everybody.
Well, you did hear the little bio that I read for our evening's guest, Leonardo, did you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're getting ready to bring him on because, like I was telling Jade, I'm very interested in the cyber dating system and the book, How to Attract a Woman with Humor. So without further ado, we're going to bring Leonardo in and get this show on the road.
All right.
Good evening, Leonardo. How are you?
Gail, darling, how are you? Thank you for that wonderful introduction. The check's in the mail.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You have such a sexy voice. You do. Wow, it really is.
Oh, my goodness. Why, thank you. Wow, okay.
Well, thank you for having me on here, and it's a pleasure to be. Wow, two other women, too, three on one.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have the most beautiful co-hosts on Blog Talk Radio, Jade and Rhea. They're the most beautiful ones on all the Blog Talk Radio shows. I have the most beautiful co-hosts.
You're going to be gentle
yes,
now, right?
We'll try to be.
Yeah.
I'll take an offense.
So what are we going to start off with? There's so much to talk about.
Yes, there is. Well, let's talk about, first of all, how to attract women with humor, because I have a great sense of humor, and I love a guy that has a sense of humor. And I think when someone can enhance my happiness and someone can put a smile on my face and make me laugh, then that's the person that could possibly be the person for me. So let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about the cyber sex, connection. I'm sorry.
I'm about to ask questions about that then.
The cyber dating. I am so sorry. I'm sorry. The cyber dating. But let's talk right now about this, or how to attract women with humor.
Well, it's it really depends on there's three types of opening lines that you can use when you approach a woman. And there's the cute flippant approach, like, you know, I don't usually let cute girls hit on me, but for you I'll make an exception. You know, that's one that it usually doesn't go over that great. The one that usually over it depends on the woman. Now, social scientists have actually done a lot of experimentation on this. And the women that fall for the cute, flippant, outrageous opening lines, those are the ones that are more interested in one-night stands or short-term relationships. It won't work with women who are looking for long-term relationships. The ones that are, if it's a woman that's looking for a long-term relationship, you have to use a more direct or opening line, like, hi, do you mind if I sit next to you? Or, hi, my name is Leonardo, what's yours? And those will be more effective for the for a long-term relationship. Or you could say the innocuous one is, hi, do you happen to know what time it is? Or what's good to eat here? But then you follow it with some other opening lines, like, one like, hello, is your name Gwendolyn? And she would say, no. Oh, thank God, I would never date a girl named Gwendolyn. But and then you just kind of take it from there. But there's lots of when you use a clever, cute opening line, it kind of short-circuit a woman's brain for a moment, and you can usually say anything outrageous after that and get away with it. But the whole one of the big secrets about approaching a woman is you got to look at the body language first, and you can check to see if she looks at you once, that's usually not a great sign. But if she looks at you twice, that's really a sign that your approach is going to be more welcome. If she looks at you twice and smiles, then you know you're in. So a lot of these, you know, pickup artists, you got to look at a woman's body language first before you know how to approach them, and it's all in your body language, how you approach. You got to have a lot of confidence when you do it. And I have a bunch of sayings here in my book. Let's see some I got a few of them.
While you're looking for that, let me ask you this. You say you have to read a woman's body language. Now, suppose there's somebody that's not expressing, you know, any type of body language. You're just sitting there, and maybe she may be reading a book, and you just come upon her, and you say, well, that's the lady I want to speak to. How do you go about doing that? Because she may be prude, or she may be not feeling well. You know, would you still approach her, or would you just, you know, just going about your business?
Yeah, that's why it's always important to kind of assess the situation first. When I first started writing my book, I was so terrible at meeting women. You know, in fact, when I was in college, I went to San Diego State, where they had the most beautiful women right next to the beach, and they would walk around with their, you know, apricot butts and braless halter tops, and oh wow, just. You couldn't you don't know what that does to a guy's brain. You can't even carry on a conversation. When you see a beautiful woman walk by, it's like your brain freezes and you can't even think. And that's mm-hmm. why a lot of get so tongue-tied they don't know how to approach. Here's a fascinating thing I learned about about evolutionary psychology, and it's really difficult for a lot of men to approach beautiful women. They actually get terrified. Guys actually get fearful of approaching a woman, and I've discovered that the reason is, according to social scientists, these are, you know, guys who study this, evolutionary psychology, and it's that in back in the caveman days, the biggest, baddest dude had the most beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy wanted to have one of these beautiful women, he usually had to challenge the alpha male for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
usually an ass-kicking and sometimes even death occurred when you tried to go pick up the beautiful woman. And to this day, it's ingrained in our DNA, that fear factor of doing it. And even though consciously in our today's society, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that fear factor is still there. There's certain attractor factors encoded in our DNA that's been developed over 150,000 years. You know, there's certain attractor factors. What men usually look for beauty and beauty and attractiveness in a woman, where a woman usually looks for power and influence and attractiveness is important, I think, but not as important as how powerful and wealthy and resourceful a man is. And these are just things that are encoded in our DNA. And once you learn how to develop those certain attractor factors like your body language, then you become a lot more successful.
Okay, what you're saying is it's all in the body language. You know, how someone may sit or how they move or batting their eyes or, you know, just some type of body language is what's the connection.
When you approach a woman, too, even when you approach a woman, you have to actually approach from the side. You cannot, it's not a good, you could probably relate, you women can probably relate yourselves. If a guy comes at you straight and confronts you straight on, it's kind of too aggressive. Whereas if he comes in from an angle and talks to you first at an angle, it's not as threatening. And then once he gets your attention and affection, then you can more confront them more. And there's certain things that you can do with your eye contact. For example, holding that eye contact just a little bit longer than normal. I'm sure you guys have all experienced that little tingly sensation of attraction that you feel when you have that, when you keep that eye contact and that little glint in your eye just for a little longer than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use the And you can use the triangle approach when you look at the left eye, the right eye, down to the lips, then back
mm-hmm.
again a few times. That's kind of a sexy, seductive look, you
mm-hmm.
know, and wet your and you know, touching somebody on the arm or even if you have a straw, how you can use the straw as a prop to give a seductive look. So there's a lot of ways that you can increase your attraction just by a lot of subtle body language. You know, women kind of flip their hair or touch their neck or those are signs of attraction.
Now, what type of body, what is the body language men use? Is it they tilt their head, blinking their eyes, you know, because women, you know, we may blink our eyes or, you know, like you said, brush our hair out of our face or pout our lips or, you know, cross our legs, you know, different things like that. What do men do?
Well, you know, men usually puff out their chest. Men who are confident, the body language of an alpha male confident guy is a guy who takes up a lot of space when he walks into a room. You know, you walk in like you got a big set of balls. You don't kind of walk in all crunched over you can just picture the difference of a guy walking in kind of, you know, real meek and mild with his arms close to himself and he's kind of shuffling in, whereas another guy who walks in really confident with his shoulders back, good posture, a nice smooth walk, you know, kind of swinging the arms and taking up a lot of room, and when you sit down, you sit down and you take up a lot of space when you sit down. And just like a woman, too, it's those really smooth, cat-like movements that make a woman look sexy. If you want to move sexy, watch a cat, how a cat moves. And it's good to practice in front of a mirror. Practice it, and it actually, studies have shown that when you practice this seductive type body language movements, it actually makes you your mind more in tune with being more seductive. So next time you guys, when you're in front of the mirror, practice these movements. Look at somebody that's in the movies that you would like to do and model their movements and practice it, and it's amazing. Because whenever you walk into a party or a place, I mean, and I think women are more in tune to a person's body language than men are. I think women are more perceptive. Women can read men much better than men can read women, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But one of those things that are encoded in our DNA. But it's a good thing to model yourself after somebody that you would like to be like. You know, whenever I have a fallback position, the one that I like to fall back on is either James Bond or Charlie Sheen is another character.
Charlie Sheen. Okay.
But
Sean Connery, he's very sexy, you know. Even as old as he is, he still seems sexy to me, you know, but, he has that sex appeal. And you also mentioned how, dang, I just lost my train of thought. I am so sorry. Do you have a question or comment, Rhea, or Jade, until I get my thoughts together?
I just wanted to know with the assurance that a person has when I don't know. Well, let me ask you first of all: do you educate people? I'm assuming that you do based off of you having a book on this style, because you do have some people that are not as assured of themselves and probably need some guidance on how to be more assertive and more approachable. That's a great question,
and that's probably one of the first things that a person needs to work on is their confidence. And that confidence, it comes over some time. You got people who are really normally really shy and introverted. It's something that you have to work on and practice. And the best way that you can do it, this is what I teach some of my clients, is to just start talking to anybody and everybody and just strike up conversations when you're lying at the store or when you're, you know, having a coffee, just ask somebody, you know, hey, how's things going? How's your life going? I usually say, I just ran into this small person. And he was really angry with me, and I asked him if he was okay. And I said, he goes, well, I'm not happy. And I asked him, well, which one are you, grumpy or dopey? Or anyway, no, it was a bad joke.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Do you ever find, with guiding your clients into being more confident, that sometimes they can be I guess I want to say a bit cocky, but that may not be the appropriate word to utilize, where they start being very assured of themselves to the point where originally their plan was they want to build a relationship with someone, but now their confidence level is so over the top that they're bouncing from place to place and they're not finding that moment of settlement, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about because there's a lot of these, they call them pickup artists. There's a whole community out there, and some of these guys are, you know, pretty, some are better than others, but they teach, it's called the cocky and funny approach. And it works sometimes, and it works if you know how to do it right, but some guys really go over the top and they abuse it because, you know, they want to try to be the bad boy, approach, and because, you know, face it, a lot of women do like that, the bad boy image, but some guys don't know how to pull it off, and they kind of overdo it, and they become too arrogant and rude. But you have to subtly learn how to do it, and you start off just by starting to talk to anybody and everybody that you can see, and you develop. The more you do it, the more you develop your confidence. Like, you know, the guys want to – go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, but my question is that do you ever have – okay, you have a shy gentleman. Okay, let me use as an example. And you're guiding him into being this assured person to approach a woman and be that funny gentleman that she will give him that second look, as you said, that second glance. And suddenly he is so assured of himself, so cocky that now he's like going from woman to woman opposed to what his plan was originally when he came to you as a client, which was to eventually find a relationship, find love. Now he is too assured of himself that he's just bouncing from woman to woman and being, I guess, kind of a player, really. So that's my question, is that have you ever found where a gentleman who has had that shy role and did not know how to approach a female has now become so over the top and so assured of himself that his plan has kind of shifted, and now he's like, I don't even know what happened now. I'm getting all these women. And, you know, it's kind of out of control. So that's my question.
In fact, I can tell you a story from personal experience. In fact, this actually happened to me. When I first started doing this, I couldn't even get in a date with my imaginary girlfriend. I mean, it was that bad. I tell the story about, I went into this hotel, and I asked the lady, cute lady behind the desk, I said, wow, do you have the turned up, can you give me the turned down service and a wake-up call? She goes, I wouldn't date you if you were the last guy on earth and you need to get a life. But
wow.
No, it was pretty bad. But anyway, after I got really good at this, after I really got good at dating, there's this one incident that changed my life. I got really good at it, and the line that would never fail to work for me, and this worked for me every single time, I'd size up a girl that I'd want to go talk to, and I'd say, I'd walk over and say, you seem like the perfect girl to answer a few questions. Do you have a few moments? She goes, yeah, I'm writing a book about love and attraction, and I'd like to get your opinion on a few things. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? And it worked every time. And I would start asking her some, you know, personal questions. Start off with a little not so personal, and then get into some real personal questions. Like, this is a great tip. If you ever meet somebody, you never want to do the interview dating. Like, where were you born? Your brothers and sisters. You want to do more like a flirting kind of a conversation. Like, tell me the first time that you were in love. If you had $1 million, what would you do with it? If you could date anybody right now, who would it be? And that changes their whole state of mind into a state of happiness and love. And, you know, tell me about your first boyfriend or the first time you got kissed. Those are the questions that you want to ask on a first date instead of, you know, doing the interview questions. Like, you know, if you could have dinner with anybody in the world right now, who would you like to have dinner with? Or who would you like to be lost on an island with right now, shipwrecked on an island with? You know, and that gets the person to start fantasizing, and it gets them in a much better state of mind and a more romantic mind. But anyway, back to the story that I was going to tell you. You were asking about, who was it? Rhea was asking about the shy boy to the player. I really started getting good at it, and I started to go overboard. I remember I met this girl at the beach, and I took her home to entertain her, and I was able to get her into the bedroom, and all of a sudden, you know, we were, you know, getting familiar with each other, and all of a sudden I heard this big glass breaking and a car alarm go off, and I jump out of bed and run to the window just to see another girl that I had been dating. She put a brick through my car window, and I saw her screeching out of the parking lot, and I noticed that my bedroom curtain was open a little bit. that wasn't good. And then at the same time, this was before when they had the answering machines. I don't know if you can remember. Another girl had called on the phone, and, "Leonardo, what are you doing right now? Wonder, can I come over?" You know, I had my game down pretty good at this time. And at that time, one of my neighbors that I had been, you know, she was a little older lady. She came over in a robe, knocking at my door. This all happened at the same time. And, you know, I kind of went to the door and just opened a crack, and she comes in like, you know, she was in a Broadway play, you know, in a skimpy robe, and the girl that was in the bedroom, she just kind of just ran out the door. And this all happened. It was like the perfect storm. And at the same time, the girl on the answering machine was calling Leonardo. She was leaving me a message on my answering machine. "Leonardo, can you come over this evening? What are you doing?" And so it was at that point that I finally realized that you know, people can actually make themselves learn how to become more attractive or in the dating marketplace and learn how to play the game. But you know, for women it's a different thing. Women can have sex practically whenever they want. Reality, but even though your brains are not, you know, geared for having sex with just anybody, and because women can only procreate so many times in their lifetime, they have to be very selective who they choose to pair up with. Where guys, you know, they can do 4 or 5 times a day when you're young, and so they're more concerned with quantity. They don't have to worry about, you know, being pregnant for 9 months. You know, our DNA tells us that try to do it as much as we can, and women have to be more selective. So that's why, you know, women, it's a lot, even though it's easier for men to have sex mentally, it's a lot difficult for women to have sex physically because of the, you know, the way we're built. But go ahead.
I thought of the question when you had mentioned that women women can seize men up better than men can, and you know that is a known fact, because when we look at a man, from head to foot within 20 seconds, we know everything. Well, we can say how we feel about that man. Oh, he has big feet, or he's too short, or he's not tall enough, he's not endowed enough, blah, 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 blah. When men look at women, they sort of like gawd and gaze and salivate and, you know, that's just how it is as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, I have even done it myself, you know, seeing men and, you know, from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head. It takes me a matter of seconds to, you know, really see this person, you know, if it's somebody that I want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
So that is right. Women, you know, can seize men up better than men can. And that was the thing that I had left my mind so quickly. But right now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss the cyber dating. Okay, and I see a
All
caller
right.
with their hand up, so when we come back, we're going to bring the call in, and we're going to go to the cyber dating.
All right.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Crazy, crazy, crazy girl. If you think that
we're back, and that was Dee Dee Warwick's Foolish Fool. I love that song. That's from back in the day song. Okay, we're back here with our special guest this evening, Leonardo Busto. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Bustos.
Okay, Bustos. And he's an author and a relationship and dating expert. We first started off talking about how to attract women with humor, which was very enlightening and very informative. And now we're going to jump into the cyber system dating. Now, you created this system, Leonardo?
Yes, yes. One of the things that I found out is that the older you get, the more difficult it gets to have to get the chemistry with somebody, and there's reasons for that. It's one of the reasons is biologically, when we're younger, there's the urge to merge is so much stronger, and that facilitates the people coming together a lot more, because that the strong sexual urge, you know, creates that that desire. And as you get older, of course, you know, the sexual urge is still there, but it's not as important. The need to procreate isn't as great as it is when you're younger. So you have to kind of look at other factors when you get older to inspire that desire and that lust for each other. And so one of the things I learned when I sold properties on the internet is that the more options you have, you know, it only makes sense. The more options you have, the more selective you can become, mm-hmm. and the faster that you can have a relationship. So typically, you know, a person that you end up matching up with, it's usually from friends that you meet, friends or family, or people from the work that you work with. So the local pool of talent is really limited. And so I found out that internet dating is so much more efficient to be able to see all the possibilities out there. You know, because if you learn how to become good at internet dating, you know, the opportunities are limitless. And so what I figured out is if you can market yourself on one dating website, then you can, the 10 dating websites will give you 10 times as many possibilities. And so I created a software program that allows you to manage all the different possibilities. Some of my clients now, that's what I do. I give them a questionnaire, and they give me some of their background that helps me to create their professional dating profile, and you know how to take the right pictures, and so when I create these dating profiles, I put them on multiple dating websites, and then I teach them how to flirt and send messages with all the people out there. Have you ever done internet dating, Gail?
Well, at one point, this was a long time ago in my life. I did tried the internet dating and the the phone dating and this and that. But I have a problem with internet dating, you know, this day and age, because some people are on the internet are predators and pedophiles and liars and cheaters, and they put up these fake profiles, so you don't really know what you're getting until you actually get to meet this person. And I don't know if you're familiar with the show called Catfish. That's
right.
A show where you familiar with that show?
Yeah, yeah. There that does exist. You're right. Yeah.
Right. But, so I'm sort of leery of the internet. Then they had the Craigslist killer. You know, it's just a thing. My personal reference is, I just don't have that trust in it. Like maybe years and years ago when I you know was involved with the internet and the phone over the phone when they had the phone chat lines and different things like that, because it's the times have changed so much and people have just been so influenced by other things besides the truth and how to be honest, and they use the internet for different reasons that are not really good. And I've always said this, and I will continue to say it, the internet is a good
server, but a cruel master. So if you're not using it to, for, you know, to benefit yourself or using it to network or, you know, different things that are going to become good out of it, then, you know, people who use it for other reasons, it's just, you know, that make other things on it as bad. Now, people who do indulge in internet dating and different things like that, I don't have any problem with, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But it's just my preference, you know, different things that I've learned, you know, by going through with it, you know, and finding things out. Because I experienced, for one instance, I'll share this story and I'll share it quickly. I had, you know, met a guy through the internet, and, you know, he asked me, well, I had my real picture up. I did have my real picture up, and he had a picture up. Come to find out, when we actually met up, he was nothing like the picture. And then he tried to tell me that it was a picture of him and, you know, an earlier picture. But why would you put up an earlier picture? Why didn't you put up a picture, a recent picture of you? And the picture really, when I saw him, didn't even resemble him. So that made me say to myself, well, you know, and I may have done it a few more times after that, but then it just got to a point I said, what the heck? You know, people are going to lie. They're going to do what they want to do. But people have met people on the internet, and they've become in, you know, loving relationships, and some people have met people on the internet and have gotten married and different things like that. But it's just not a place where I would put my confidence in, you know, trying to meet somebody. And like I said, I don't have anything, you know what people do is what they do, you know, because if someone meets somebody on there that they become the love of their life, you know, more power to it, and I'm happy for them, you know, but it's just my preference.
Yeah, it's a common story what you're talking about, but things have really changed. There was a recent survey, it was on USA Today, and they've determined that more than half of the people are meeting online, and more than a third of marriages now have met online, and it's increasing. And one of the things that you were talking about is the catfishing thing, and that's being taken care of, and here's why. Here's what the latest, and here's what I have my clients do. And that's a very valid concern, what you're talking about. But mm-hmm. Now, once you meet somebody and you're interested in them, you can do a Skype or a Google Hangouts. You can do a video call to see how, if this person's for real or not, and, you know, and make that connection there. And it's so much more efficient and less expensive to do it that way than having to go out on a date, you know, or just get to know somebody over the phone or over a video chat, and that gives you a little more confidence that the person is who they say they are, and they look like they say they represent themselves, and it gives you that other layer of confidence that that this person's not a scam artist, but mm-hmm. but it's just so much more efficient, especially like, you know, time-wise, because you can go through so many more possibilities through internet dating than you can having to, you know, say if you had to go out and get dressed and go meet somebody at a, and, you know, you could actually meet a pedophile or a rapist or a, you know, a mugger when you go to a nightclub. So, I mean, there's that chance that you have to take, but in fact, it's becoming even more safer on the internet now, because if you really, some of the dating websites actually do security checks and background checks on some of the people. So it is a lot more efficient and a lot safer than, depending on the sites that you're going on to. There's over 10,000 dating sites. Did you know there's a dating site for vampires? There's one for
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. There's one for I don't know if you ever heard of Ashley Madison.
Yeah, the cheating website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Adult friend finders. Have you heard of that one?
Yep, heard of that. It's just so many out there. that it makes the person who, you know, is out there looking for these different things and someone who's going on a cheating dating site, I don't think they should go on to another dating site where someone is looking for someone who is looking for someone to be in a long-term relationship. See, that's where the deceit and discrepancies come in, is when these people come out of this website, like Madison and Ashley, when they come out of that site after they done cheated with this person, did it with this person, blah, 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 then they say, oh, well, I'm going to go on here and be on Match.com or what's the other one where the old man?
There's sugar well, anyway, daddies.
eHarmony.
Yeah, eHarmony and, you know, all them different things like that. See, that's what makes it, to me, that's what changes the game up. Now, just like they have any and every kind of dating service out there, like you said, vampires, this, that, blah, 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 blah. And the people who do those things are the ones who should be going to those specific websites, you know. But when they start crossing over, that's what causes, you know, different things to go wrong in a different dating site. You know, just like the Craigslist killer and the someone from Craigslist was going around raping women and, you know, so they said that they had stopped that, but I don't know if they had really taken that down off of Craigslist or not. But even if they did take it off of Craigslist, the person who's doing that could still go to another site. You see what I'm saying? Then they put up these false pictures of somebody else and a false about them. You know, it just makes it bad for other websites that people are serious about, you know, wanting to meet somebody who's interested in them, wanting to meet someone who's going to be with them on a long-term basis, or wanting to meet someone who just wants to hang out, you know, opposed to you pick somebody and you go out and never come home because this person killed you or raped you or, you know, did something to you that wasn't in their that they didn't speak of that was on their site, you know, because a lot of people have different reasons for doing the things that they do, and some people just do it out of pure evilness. But
there was a study
There
was a study done on that, too, and actually the rates of incidents where people get, you know, raped or really hurt from these dating websites, it's really far less than in real life. So when you hear about this Craigslist killer and stuff like that, you know, that's it's one out of a million times that it happens. And not to say that it's, you know, it still couldn't happen again, but the risk on online dating is actually safer than dating in real life. And you, there are those incidents, and once you become good at the internet dating, you know how to qualify people up front before you invest any time in them, you know, and that's what I teach in my program, is that I'll get a client and I'll put him on, he'll tell me what he's looking for, and I'll find you know, maybe 5, 6, or 7 dating websites for him, and I'll set up an email for him, and then set up his profile, and within, you know, a week, he's got 40, 50 women contacting him. And with those women that he's interested in, you know, you can actually set up a call with them right away to see if they're really the person they are. And I suggest doing the Skype or the video chat. And it's really, with taking these precautions, it's a lot more efficient to finding somebody that you're really gonna really want to be with. And you know, the people usually, they're not always true, but they're telling you who they are and what they're looking for. And that's something that you find if you go into a nightclub or you're going to a party or something like that. You actually get more information from a dating site. Not to say that it's always accurate. Well, the pictures aren't current, but in the long run, it's so much more efficient if you want to find somebody.
So let me ask you this. What makes your system so different than eHarmony or Match.com or Sugar Daddies? And what makes your system so much different?
So when one of my clients, the first thing they do is they fill out a questionnaire, and this questionnaire gives an idea. You know, I ask them, you know, tell me your dating strengths, your dating weaknesses, so I can teach them what areas they need to work on. And then it also gives me a little of history of their profile, so I can create their dating profile for them. And then it also gives me a little idea of their past relationships, what caused their past relationships to fail, so they don't make those same mistakes again, you know, because people tend to make the same mistakes over and over. So I try to get them started on a solid foundation, you know, try to get a clean slate, so when they start on a new relationship, they don't carry in a lot of baggage from their past relationships into it. So then once I get their profile, I have a search engine of about 400 of the top dating websites, and I create these profiles for not just on, I'll put them on multiple dating sites, on Match, eHarmony, and I'll put them all, you know, maybe on 10 different websites instead of just one. And then I have all of their people that are interested in them going to one email site. So they're all filtered to this one email site. Then the other thing that I do for them is in the software that I have, they create their perfect prototype partner based upon 40 characteristics that we look for in a mate. For example, you know, when you look for in a mate, what's important to you? How fit they are, how their appearance, how funny they are, how much wealth do they have, their age, their ethnicity, their religion, all of these factors. These are all things that are important to a person, and depending on their importance, you give them a higher value. So what this does is it creates your perfect prototype partner profile. So your ideal person is, you know, in this software program.
I understand what you do. What you do is you do an evaluation on them, and you sort of like give them, set them up with the right dating system, the dating program, I mean dating site, according to how you evaluated them.
Right. They tell me what they're looking for in a partner, and then I find the right websites to market them on. And I, you know, I create their best dating profile to market themselves on not just one or two their dating sites, but a lot more, a lot of the dating sites. And the more dating sites you have, the more options you have, and the more options you have, the more selective you can become. Makes sense? It's just like, you know, the dating marketplace is just like an economic marketplace, the supply and demand, and everybody has a value when you go into this dating marketplace, and it's very subjective. Your value is based upon your desirability and attractiveness, and it's not just how pretty or cute you are. It depends on what other assets you have, whether they're monetary or your personality or your contacts or your accomplishments, but you look at the whole person, and a Beyonce should be like a 10 and then 100 in the dating marketplace, whereas you know, somebody who just got out of prison and maybe needs to go to Weight Watchers or something, they're not going to be very high on the dating profile. So the higher you rank in this marketplace, the more opportunities you're going to have. So you have a value in the marketplace and to match up with others of the higher value. So the more desirable you can make yourself in the marketplace, the more opportunities you're going to have. Just like, you're marketing an investment property, the more money you're going to get for it. It's the same thing in the dating marketplace.
What is your percentage of the clients that you work with of getting into relationships and being in healthy, successful relationships?
I've been able to get, probably in my career, I've probably had maybe over 100, and I know I've got them, all of them. I've been able to get them into a relationship. Now, I don't keep track of all of them and how long they're all the relationships, so I really can't tell. But I usually stay with a client until I help them to find somebody, until they at least get involved in a relationship that lasts more than a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have a lot of issues that I can't overcome, you know, but I can coach somebody out, anybody, bring me anybody, and I can there's always somebody for somebody, and with the right coaching and making the right decisions, and what the cyber system dating is the more that you market yourself, the more opportunities you have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I market to my clients like a celebrity. And I, you know, like I'm like their publicity agent. I'm their wingman. I'm their PR person, and I'm their image consultant. So I try to make them as attractive as possible, and then try to market them to as many people as possible, and that increases your options. So that's basically what cyber system dating is. It's called the mate acquisition program now too. So.
Did you ever have any difficult clients or clients that wasn't satisfied and made a big hoop-de-doo about it? Or, you know, how was that handled if you were ever in that situation?
If I felt that I couldn't help somebody, I would just give them their money back. I don't want to, you know, it's not worth it to argue with somebody like that. It's just so much better just to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Here, you may need to go get some other type of counseling that I'm not equipped for. But and there are some people who do have some, you know, some really major flaws, like this guy out in Santa Barbara. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're sorry. He was apparently, he was one of these guys that they call him pickup artists. He had tried to. He had some major personality flaws where he just creeped everybody out, all the girls that that he tried to meet.
Wow!
They could pick up on his on his karma and. Did you ever see those videos of him of him talking on the camera? Yeah.
No.
Oh man, that is one strange guy. He really sounded creepy. He
but his ass looked wild.
He said that you guys deserve to die. If I because you live a better life than I do, you've had more sex than I do, and you deserve to die because you've had a better life than I do.
Wow.
And that's why he went on these people. But. But there are some people that have these personality flaws that, and it just goes to show you, it's not all about looks. You know, it isn't. You can learn how to flirt, and these are some traits that that can be developed with some practice, and those are the things I like to help my clients with.
Mm-hmm.
The program is interesting, and it's interesting from this perspective for me. It's almost like getting back to the basics of when those programs were initially brought about. They dealt with that, basically numbering system, and I guess, like you're saying, they attached a value or a number to different things, and then your matchup was based on what your profile stated. You see what I'm trying to say?
And the future, and when you look at the future of mate selection, how people are going to meet in the future, it's trending more and more towards computers and algorithms. You know, they feed all this information. In fact, the ones of the future actually. I'm going to send you this video of it's called facial recognition technology, and I'm sure you already know that everybody has a face print just like everybody has a fingerprint. In fact, on Facebook, mm-hmm. they can identify who you are from your faces, your face in Facebook. Well, police already have this the technology that they can take a picture of you. And they already know who you are. The facial recognition technology will actually pick up exactly who you are. It'll go into the Department of Motor Vehicles and pick up where you live, and they can find everything out about you. But the newer technology taking this facial recognition technology a step further, it also, there's 96 points on your face, and depending on where these points are on your face, it can determine your mood. And we can all tell if somebody's happy or sad or disgusted or surprised. But now with this facial recognition technology, they can actually take pictures of a person, and it'll be able to tell now he's getting sad, now he's gonna cry. And just by analyzing the film and these points on your face, you're having an algorithm, you're having a computer printout of your mood. So when you match that up with another, think about going way into the future on the software, when you match these moods up, you can actually determine who you might be best suited for. For example, here's really an interesting fact that a woman's attractiveness, timing is one of the most important things in attractiveness and being attracted to somebody. Did you know that a woman's menstrual cycle, when she's ovulating, that is when she's actually most attractive. And when she's more likely to be horny, and also they've scientifically proven this, that her awareness, she actually becomes hornier when she's ovulating, but she also becomes more in
that
tune and reading a man because our evolution has ingrained it into your DNA to be more alert to who you're going to be choosing during these periods. So not only your mate selection is enhanced, your awareness of who you're going to match up with, even though you're horny during those times, your ability to find the higher quality mate is enhanced also during those time periods. And for a man, his level of testosterone, people actually subconsciously, they determine that the scent of a person determines how attractive you are to them, and they determine that based upon the pheromones, you subconsciously know whether your offspring, their immune system is going to be at the highest, whereas if your offspring is destined to have a poor immune system, then the pheromones aren't going to be as attractive to each other and to the persons. I don't know if I made mm-hmm. sense. In other words, if you meet a guy and all of a sudden just his scent, you really like him, and you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get rid of this call. Doggone it! In a second. If you meet a guy and all of a sudden, wow, you like the way that he smells, it's because our DNA has taught us to be able to determine in advance whether offspring is going to have a healthy immune system or not. If it's not going to have a healthy system, then you're going to have that same pheromone action. But I thought that was just incredible to learn that. But the other thing I was talking about is a man's testosterone level. Say if he's really accomplish something. If he scored high on a test, he got a job increase at his work or something, his level of testosterone is going to be higher, and women are going to be more attracted to his level of his testosterone, as opposed to if he just fired or something like that, his testosterone level is going to be low, and she's not going to be as attracted to him based upon his level of testosterone. So timing is very critical in attraction when you're you know, when you're out there in the marketplace. So there's all these factors that come into play that determines whether you're going to be in love with somebody, and a lot of it has to do with your parents, who your parents are. And your primary group is going to determine who you're going to likely end up with, even if your parents were really dysfunctional. For example, if you know your parents were—I'm not saying yours are—but in some families, you know, the father's a drunk and the mother's a drunk and alcoholic, and typically, that's what the child learns to associate with love and affection, and then guess what? They ended up marrying a drunken alcoholic because that's what they grew up with as being love and affection. And sometimes it's difficult to break out of that cycle. And so that's one of the things. So you have all these different factors that determine who we're attracted to, who your first lover or boyfriend was. You're going to be programmed to be attracted to somebody just like them, just like your first love. I don't know how many times you probably...
No. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord. You had a flashback. No.
But how many times do you know somebody
you
that
said
just...
said no.
How many times did
okay,
they...
Okay, I'm sorry.
When you broke up with somebody that you, they end up being with somebody just like somebody they just broke up with. That is so typical. But
I think that happens because of the type of people. Because I've had, I'm not going to call any name, I've had a family member. Every boyfriend that she ever got involved with was either a drug addict, an alcoholic, and abused her. Every one of them.
Is that what she grew up?
Well, her mother never did drugs or anything, but her father wasn't in the home, but he did drugs, and I don't know if he was an alcoholic or not, but you know, this is just the type of relationships that she got in back to back, and she always got with men that she could control. So it just seems like there's a pattern somewhere, some type of cycle that needs to be broken. And then sometimes women don't always think that it's the man, and sometimes it's really the woman, because look at Halle Berry, for instance. She's been in and out of relationships, in and out of marriages, and it's something, I wouldn't say that every man that she's been with has caused her heartaches and pains and all this whole kind of stuff, but if they did, what was the contributing factor? I mean, what was it that she was or wasn't doing to cause them to, you know, even abuse her, as she, you know, had spoken about mostly all the guys she was with, you know, abused her. Now, does that mean that her mom was in an abusive relationship or her dad abused her mom? You know, what was up with that?
In my opinion, I never met Halle Berry or anything like that, but
me neither. But this is what I'm going on to with the media.
<She's>
a, you know,
never. But here's my take on this, and I've known this to be true with other beautiful women, is that when you grow up that beautiful, you don't grow up like a normal person. Everything is given to you. People react to you so much differently. They don't treat you like a normal person. You get everything handed to you on a silver platter, and people go out of their way to try to be nice to you, and so you grow up with a distorted sense of fairness and reality. And I'm not saying it's bad, you know, she's a bad person or a good person, but it's human nature to have a distorted perception of the way people, of what's fair and what's not fair, because if you've been spoiled all your life because of your beauty and your personality, it's difficult to have a normal personality. You know what I mean? It's not natural to be catered to in the way some of these goddesses are. And so you can't help but develop a different perception of reality and a sense of fairness and what you're entitled to. And I've seen that happen, and I don't know if Halle Berry's an easy person to live with or not, but I know she's had some pretty terrible heartaches, which is not
right.
Which is sad, but... But I think that a person's beauty can't help but alter somebody's sense of reality and the way that people treat you. You expect everybody to treat you like that, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes people can only do it for a while before they can't take it anymore. And I think maybe sometimes that creates conflict. I could be wrong. I'm not saying that's in her case, but I know that
right.
a lot of these really super attractive people, they certainly have a different attitude and perception of life and entitlement.
Well, we're getting down to the wire. And, you know, let's let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and let them know about your books, if you know how they can get your books, your websites, and, you know, different things of that nature.
Yeah, thecompanionator.com. Go to www.thecompanionator.com. I help people find their best available mate in the shortest period of time, and I market you like a celebrity on multiple different dating websites, and I show you how to watch out for the scam artists, because they're certainly out there. But you know, if you know how to play the game, you know, it only makes sense that the more options that you have, the more selective that you can be, and the faster that you're going to be able to connect with somebody. And here's what I say, that to me, one of life's greatest experiences has got to be being passionately in love with somebody, with the love of your life. And the most important choice you make towards your happiness is who you choose to be your
mm-hmm.
partner. And people
mm-hmm.
all the time will get advice you know, what cell phone to buy or what app to choose or what insurance to buy. Yet how often does a person get advice on making one of the most important decisions that they'll ever make?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do. I help you to make your best choice, and I help you to find your best love match by marketing yourself and putting yourself out there. And that's why my approach, I think, is really unique. I don't know. I do a lot of research in this area, and not everybody has the same approach. You know, they go on one or
mm-hmm.
two different websites, but I put you on multiple ones.
Right.
But
it sounds different, you know, because, like I said, you do an evaluation and you give them multiple choices, and, you know, you get people on there that you screened, and doing the Skype thing, that I think that's perfect as well, because you can see who you're speaking with before you meet them, and you can develop a little, you know, a little relationship as far as like seeing this person, opposed to, you know, seeing a picture that maybe 10, 20 years old, and when you meet this person, they're so old until it's pathetic, or they're so, you know, it's just not that person that was in that picture. You know, so that's a plus as well. I don't know if the other websites do that or not, but if, you know, if you started it and, you know, you got it going on, then, you know, that's a very good thing right there. So, yeah. So
now,
I know
people lie, but in general, there's a scientific part to that as well. When you assign or attach the numbers for the different, what do you pair traits or characteristics of this than the other. So you're getting down to the, it's like you got that checklist of what it is you're looking for, and you getting down to that person that closely matches that and this, that, and the other. And if truth is involved, then you all can, you will come up with some pretty interesting choices.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what I try to do, and I try to have people start off with the solid foundation, because if you don't have your head on straight, you know, you're just going to head for another failed relationship. So you got to have a good foundation going in, and have your own life in order, and learn to make your own life inviting, you know, make it inviting to your new partner. So there's some steps that I teach my clients to you know, in order to prepare for a relationship. And so.
Well, that's very good, because like I said, there is a difference there. And Leonardo, we're running out of time, and we really did appreciate you stopping by here this evening. We're going to give you a great round of applause for stopping by Delicious Talk Radio this evening.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes. And I'm quite sure my listeners walked away with something tonight, as they generally do, and I do appreciate it when I have guests on such as yourself who bring a wealth of knowledge and, enlightenment, and, you know, just helping people and situations and, you know, carrying on different things like that. So I appreciate you, and you're going to have to come back again. I'll let everybody know once again how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, go to thecompanionator.com, and if they want, tell your they can say that they heard me on your show, Gail Johnson's show, and I will give them a free half hour consultation.
Oh, okay. I hope everybody heard that you're going to get a free half hour consultation. If you said that you heard Leonardo Busto right here on Delicious Talk Radio this evening, he'll give you a half-hour free consultation. So make sure you mention Delicious Talk Radio when you hit him up.
Go to my website, companionator.com, and then I have a place you can sign up there, and it's free. So pleasure being on, Gail. Thank you for having me and all your girlfriends, too.
Oh, anytime. And I'm looking forward to having you come back when you get your next book out or your next conquest, you know. You're more than welcome to hit me up, and, you know, I'll have you back on the show again. And I thank you so much, Leonardo, and you have a beautiful evening, darling.
You too, darling. Night-night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Okay. As you all know, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. If you have a topic or you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email. That's to gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or to either my co-host, that's Rhea, RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. That's RheaAlexis@yahoo.com, and jdinoblasco@gmail.com. That's jdinoblasco@gmail.com. And he was not here due to an emergency this evening. But in the subject line, type topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depending on how juicy the topic is. And excuse me. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Rhea, Jade, and my listening audience for tuning in this evening. And Rhea, you want to let everybody know what you do?
Well, primarily I am a book reviewer, And I can be reached through Goodreads, Facebook, Amazon, any of those entities such as that, and under Real Alexis Banks. But Facebook is the easiest way to catch me.
All righty. And Jade, you want to let everybody know what you do, darling?
I'm on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to check out Erotic Talk Radio every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and on Saturdays, you want to go to Erotic Talk Radio and also check out the G-Spot Love Zone. That's at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we have two group pages. One is on Facebook, and one is Erotic Talk Radio, and the other one is WTLC Talk Radio. So check out both of those groups so you can get our show link. Thank you.
Well, all right. And I guess everybody knows what I do. I'm an author, poet, ghostwriter, publisher, speaker, actress. And, you know, you can just Google Gail Delicious Johnson. And anything else you want to know, you'll find it. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, quite a few internet sites. And our next Wednesday show, we're going to have a special guest on, Jazara Bradley. She's an author and an entrepreneur, so she's going to be here with us next Wednesday at 10:30 p.m., so please tune in for that, you know, because it's going to be a very good show. And you guys, thank you very much. I love you guys so much, Rhea and Jade. Thank you. I'm sorry Jadino had a little emergency, so he's not here. But, you know, everybody out there that's listening, thank you for stopping by. Have a good evening. Don't drink and drive. I like talking to you, not about you. Love you guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Rhea.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.